Ohm Connect literally pays you to save energy. Oh, we paid for some more time on this commercial? Okay, then here's a bit more. Ohm Connect is a free service that texts you when you can earn cash back by saving energy. You turn things off for an hour, and we pay. Why? Because California would rather pay you to save energy than dirty power plants to produce more of it. So here's what you can do. Sign up at ohm.co/podcast, and we'll even give you a $10 welcome bonus when you connect your utility account. Let's do something positive for the environment and get paid to do it. That's ohm.co/podcast. Mother Nature says thanks, or grazie, or I actually don't know what language she speaks.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. I welcome Professor Stephen F. Cohen, New York University, Princeton University, Russian history. Russian history. EastWestAccord.com is the website. I emphasize Russian history because Steve and I are talking about the new Cold War, which is dangerous. See our conversation about Syria and the cross purposes of Israel, Iran, Russia, the United States, Hezbollah, and, of course, the Syrian regime, along with Turkey. However, tonight, we're focusing on Russian history subset, Russiagate subset, the Mueller special counsel subset, indicting foreign nationals and relating that in some fashion to the allegation that the president of the United States was corrupted by Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin to undermine the democracy of the United States in 2016. This is going to be difficult, but I'll do what I can. I am a young man, 33 years old, a Dutch national. Alex van der Schwan has now pleaded guilty in court to lying to the FBI about his conversation, his communication with a man named Gates, and this conversation in some fashion related to work on a project for the Ukraine. I am not making this up. This is part of the new Cold War. Oddly, it takes much too long to explain other than to say that this is a fact of the special counsel's work. And the attorney, who is the son-in-law of one of Russia's richest men, pleaded guilty. That's the rough connection of this young man to the larger story of Moscow and Washington. Steve, a very good evening to you. We do not need to explore this. Mr. van der Schwan is married to the daughter of a man named German Khan, who's a Soviet-born tycoon, all well and good, another oligarch. However, all of these matters are stirring the pot to keep of the new Cold War. Your measure of this, Steve, has been for some weeks now that this is a political storm, not about criminal activity or even, at this point, about getting us back to the original allegation of collusion by Donald J. Trump, now president of the United States, with Vladimir Putin, president of Russia. A very good evening to you, Professor.
Well, actually, I feel it's a kind of lousy evening. I don't know why, but I feel more and more anguished over this whole Russiagate thing. One thing that precipitated what I'd like to talk about tonight is I got a few phone calls recently, or emails they actually were, from friends across the country, and each of them said in his or her own way, Steve, can you imagine that the American people would create such a thing as Russiagate? Because they too believe it's mostly fraudulent. And I rebelled against that because I have no sense at all this is the creation of the American people. I feel strongly, and the history shows, it's the creation of American political and media elites. So I had a kind of moment of truth, asking myself, where did all this come from? And what I'd like to suggest is that inadvertently, Russiagate, this whole saga, tells us some really bad things about the American political media elite establishment. I think it tells us, above all, that they're recklessly endangering both America's national security, but also American democracy itself. So, and we hear this from them, as you just pointed out, daily, in the television, in the newspapers. So what I'd like to do is give you, I think, maybe six examples of what Russiagate is telling us about our most exalted political and media elites. I'll just state it briefly and actually hope to get your reaction. You may not agree. And I'll just begin with the first one, which is these people have absolutely no regard for the current or enduring institution of the American presidency. As you said, the pivot of Russiagate, let's not forget this, because sometimes it's expressed in euphemisms, but often quite candidly. But the pivot of the narrative is unprecedented, that Trump became president due to a conspiracy or collusion with the Kremlin, or due to some dark blackmail hold the Kremlin has on him, or due to Kremlin interference. Exactly what that means isn't clear, in the election, or to all three, which means, they conclude, that Trump is a Kremlin agent, a Kremlin stooge, a puppet, which means he's inherently treasonous. And I don't make this up. This is said. I can give you scores of examples from the most exalted media outlets. So I think that the problem here is, apart from Trump, is that unless actual proof of this specific allegation is produced, and zero has been thus far, I don't care how many indictments Mueller, the special prosecutor, churns out, but no proof of this really horrible allegation against Trump has been produced, if something isn't done to dispel it, I think this kind of stain or suspicion will linger over future presidents as well, and over the institution of the presidency, because either Republicans will seek vengeance against the next Democratic president, or people will say, well, if the Kremlin could make Trump president or corrupt him, why might not the Kremlin do the same to future presidential candidates? So as I see it, Russiagate, its proponents, its zealots, are endangering a vital institution of American democracy, the presidency. Or to put it differently, clearly they want to delegitimize Trump. But in the process, they may delegitimize the presidency itself. And by the way, to end with this point, not only the presidency, because they are all saying that the Russians are going to do the same thing in the 2008 congressional elections. So now, when this is over, unless it's abandoned, repudiated, or disproved, it would appear that our elections in general are end up being, I don't know, delegitimized, but not accepted the way they used to be. So I consider that very grave, John. I don't know what you're thinking.
My thinking, very succinctly, is that the allegation is based on rubbish, the Steele dossier. Quoting Director Comey, unverified and salacious, rubbish. Amateurish rubbish, not verified by the FBI and yet used by Director Comey and the Obama administration to win a warrant against a U.S. citizen, a U.S. person, in order to target President Trump, then candidate Trump, then President-elect Trump, and his organization. Rubbish. So therefore, whatever is being concocted by the major media figures, that there is a necessary moment where they're in denial that their allegation, their suspicion, the accusation of President Trump being illegitimate is based on rubbish. That's my response to the media, Steve, and that is why I endorse the Russians, the Russian people watching this from the outside, being mesmerized by the nonsense.
Well, they are that. The problem, I mean, I don't disagree with what you said, but the problem with leaving it that was formulated by my late great friend Robert Conquest, a great historian, great conservative thinker, a man of the right, British, but lived most of his life here, who said, famously, rubbish in, rubbish out. They poured it in, but it's been coming out in the most legitimate established sources for a year and a half now. So it's become a thing, a reality in itself. And I'm wondering what the legacy will be. But let me give you the other.
All right, no, wait just a moment. We'll come back with national security. I'm speaking with Professor Stephen F. Cohen. And our crankiness, my crankiness, I won't extend to the professor, my crankiness is, as we proceed in discussing Russiagate, we're getting farther and farther away from the fact that the allegation against the president is not proved and is based upon rubbish. I'm John Batchelor.
For some people, falling asleep can be as hard as the workday he or she just put in, but it doesn't have to be. You don't need to spend a fortune to get the rest you need. Great sleep starts with the right sheets, and they're more affordable than you think. That's what you get with Boll & Branch. What makes Boll & Branch unique is each sheet is crafted from 100% organic cotton. They feel incredible, get softer over time, and they last for years. And because you buy direct from Boll & Branch online, you don't pay expensive retail markups. That's half the price for twice the quality. You'll love these sheets. Try them for 30 nights and see for yourself. If you're not impressed, return them for a full refund. Anyone who sleeps on Boll & Branch sheets loves them. That's why they have thousands of five-star reviews, and even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Go to BollandBranch.com today, and you'll get $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping when you go to BollandBranch.com and use promo code JOHN, J-O-H-N. That's $50 off, plus free shipping right now at BollandBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com, promo code JOHN. BollandBranch.com, promo code JOHN.
I'm John Batchelor. Professor Cohen is here, and we are discussing what started out to be the new Cold War, turned into the allegation that is Russiagate, and has now turned in exasperation because the U.S. media has endorsed a theory that has no substance. But the theory is repeated each night, and we all know the proverb about telling a big lie. Now we go to what else is endangered by repeating this nonsense each evening. Please continue, Professor.
Well, as I thought this through, what's being revealed, and it's alarming what's being revealed by Russiagate, the second most alarming revelation is that these American political media elites, these Russiagate zealots, do not care about American national security, though they talk about it all the time. And still more, I would say they're recklessly endangering our national security in at least three ways. First of all, and you certainly know about this, and I think every one of your listeners has heard it, they claim that the Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election was, quote, an attack on American democracy and an act of war. So if you think about this for 30 seconds, they are, and I never call people names. I looked up what it meant in Webster's tonight, but they are warmongers, which means promoting or advocating war. They are literally warmongering, because if it's true that Russia attacked the United States, it's not true. If it's true that whatever Russia did by way of meddling was an act of war, it's not true. Then obviously it's a terrible provocation. They equate it with Pearl Harbor. They equate it with 9/11. But the United States reacted to Pearl Harbor by officially entering World War II. And we reacted to 9/11 by a virtual and real war on terrorism. So it would appear that if we were actually attacked, the government of the United States must now attack Russia, which would mean war. And if this is not warmongering, I don't know what it is. And along the way, because they consider, the New York Times columnist Christoph wrote this the other day, that Trump is mentally unstable. Well, if they think Trump is mentally unstable, these demands that he, every day, that he react to the Russian attack on America could conceivably provoke Trump into doing something rash. We already have the example, what was it, a few months ago, maybe a year ago, when he sent 55 missiles to Syria. For no reason other than to get this Kremlin puppet monkey off his back. But it sounds like to me they're literally trying to goad Trump into war with Russia. In addition, they then say at the same time they don't trust Trump to deal with Russia. And this means that Trump lacks in their eyes the legitimate authority that all Americans have, American presidents have had since the beginning of the nuclear age, and that is the capacity to negotiate with Russia to avoid nuclear conflict. I've used this example before, but I'll remind people. What if John Kennedy was treated the way Trump is now treated back in 1962? There would not have been a peaceful resolution of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I think about this often, and I think that this is another unprecedented existential security threat that's represented not by Donald Trump, but by Russiagate. I don't think we've ever been here before, John.
My comment on the allegations of Russian interference in the democracy, we'll talk about that in a moment, is to remind everyone of the Office of Personnel Management, the OPM hack, several years past, 2015, 2014, that period of time when millions of Americans had their personal information compromised by a foreign actor. We were told at the time that foreign actor was not only China, People's Republic of China, but also was located in Shanghai, a particular building. Many of those people compromised were national security officials. So if there was an attack on the United States, it was the OPM hack during the second Obama administration, not what we're told was gamesmanship on social media by troll farms in Petersburg. It's a puzzle to me, Steve, how it is that Putin has been aggrandized as a villain meant to wreck democracy, and Xi Jinping, an absolute dictator of a non-transparent tyranny, is permitted to conduct himself as if he was a world leader.
Well, then they shifted the focus of the accusation, correct?
Yes.
In the telling of the story. Well, that brings me to the third thing that I encountered rereading all these media accounts. Remember, John, the original account was that Putin had directed a hacking of the Democratic National Committee.
Still not proved. Still not proved. The allegation is repeated and repeated and repeated, but it's still not proved.
But that's the whole point. Unable to prove that, the Russiagate promoters have shifted the focus. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yes, I have. They've gone over to social media gamesmanship.
Right. All right. So that takes us to the social media focus, which is what we hear now almost daily, and what's reflected to a certain extent in Mueller's recent indictments.
Of the 13 Russian nationals who he says operated a troll farm in Petersburg for money at the behest of a man who was associated with the Kremlin. That's the accusation. Steve, I have to testify. I witnessed those trollsters during the campaign, during the primary campaigns and during the general campaign. I used to wish them good morning because I could see what time it was in Petersburg. It was funny. They were vaguely connecting to America, but they never quite get the proverbs and the language right. It's always sort of out of textbooks, and they repeated themselves endlessly. And to say that that was interference in our democracy exaggerates the meaning of Twitter.
Well, you said something interesting, that it seemed to be a commercial enterprise. They were selling ads. And there is an argument that I read recently that this whole operation in St. Petersburg that then focused on the United States was actually from the beginning a commercial enterprise looking to sell its ads, and not political. But leave that aside. Let's say it's semi-true that Russian disinformation or fake news entered our social media market. Then you go, though, to the assumption, and I find this really shocking, by the proponents of this argument, that American voters were highly susceptible to this, whatever the Russians put up, however bad their English, that American voters are easily duped by Russian disinformation and fake news. It's a kind of, you remember that movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yes, of course.
Years ago. It's a kind of invasion of the body snatcher theory, that the Russians send their information here and American voters succumb to it. Let me give you what I think are three or four.
Oh, wait. We've got to take a break here. And I like the idea of the Russians turning into pods. That was the nature of the invasion of the body snatchers. A pod would be put next to you, and in the morning you'd become the pod person. I'm speaking to Professor Stephen F. Cohen, New York University, Princeton University, Russian History Emeritus. We're discussing a very far away from the new Cold War, except for that it's stirring the enmity between Moscow and Washington. The story of Russiagate, subset. Russiagate is social media, subset social media is a troll farm in Petersburg as a threat to the Republic of the United States of America. Not making this stuff up. I'm John Batchelor.
Connect literally pays you to save energy. Oh, we paid for some more time on this commercial? Okay, then here's a bit more. Ohm Connect is a free service that texts you when you can earn cash back by saving energy. You turn things off for an hour and we pay. Why? Because California would rather pay you to save energy than dirty power plants to produce more of it. So here's what you can do. Sign up at ohm.co/podcast. And we'll even give you a $10 welcome bonus when you connect your utility account. Let's do something positive for the environment and get paid to do it. That's ohm.co/podcast. Mother Nature says thanks. Or grazie. Or I actually don't know what language she speaks.